This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal. This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash the Raptor smithereens.
No, not this rack. This rock happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Hour number three here on a Thursday afternoon on Danny and Dusty. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this glorious, glorious Thursday. And it is Thursday. It is 2 o'clock-ish, which means it's time to make our Stone Cold Lead Pipe Blocks, all of our picks for the upcoming NFL weekend. I didn't even look at mine. I didn't look at my results from last week.
I got a damn tie.
Ooh, you got a kissing cousin in there, huh?
You were right. You said it at the time. You said, if there would have been the hook, you probably would have felt better about it. The hook is what got me. I took the Falcons Broncos under 44. It hit 44
no
on the dot.
No way.
44 the dot. Yeah. Other than that, I went 3-0-1.
What'd I go? 2-2? 2-2? Yeah, I went 2-2. Okay, we'll take that.
Yeah, I too went 2-2.
Alright, yeah. So we're 26-17-1 for me, 29-14-1 for Dusty, and you are 23-19-2, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Everybody's still up. Everybody's still up.
Mm-hmm.
Bo, you didn't need the last touchdown.
All right. All right.
I mean, you couldn't have just won 31-6, yeah. Bo?
No, I couldn't take it.
Come on.
Oh, you're still leading, so lead us off.
All right.
Old glorious leader.
Oh, man. All right, where I'm going to start, I don't like Florida teams going up north, but this is an exception I will make. Yeah. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 6-point favorites as they head to the Meadowlands for the New York Giants. Look, there's a few things that are at play here. One, it's Tommy DeVito playing quarterback. Two, Mike Evans has been slowly returning for the Bucs, not really anticipating him, but they're getting a little bit of a jolt. And then also you have to take a look at what the Giants are up against. It's not just that they play on Sunday, but who do they play next? Dallas Cowboys, all right? I'm gonna go ahead. I'm taking Tampa. I'm riding the Buccaneers.
Mike Evans is supposed to play.
Let's go, baby.
I'm
not expecting him to do much, but it's just like a confidence boost. It's a nice little builder there.
It's a nice little something, right?
Heading into the week.
It's not a bad spot.
And by the way, it's a short week that they have Dallas. Like, if they're looking at a game that they think they can win, it ain't this one.
Yeah.
Give me the Bucs in six.
This is going to be one of two picks I'm going to make in this game.
All right.
in this game. And this is the first time I've done this because there's some chicanery here.
All right.
First of all, I'm going to take the Steelers minus 3.5 at the Browns.
Oh. Tonight's game.
The Steelers are...
It's the Steelers.
It's the Steelers. The Steelers are a wagon? Question mark? I think they can cover 3.5 against the Browns who are... while anemic, mm-hmm. I feel like this is one of those games where the weather is a nightmare already. It's starting to snow, which means you might see a fumble or two. You might see a scoop and score.
Fumble-rooski.
You might see a punt return kickoff or a punt return for a touchdown.
Fumble-rama.
Jameis is back there, which means there's opportunity for pick sixes.
Fumble-lumba-ding-dong.
Like, I just look at this game and there's, number one, I think the Steelers are going to win. But I think there's another line here that's going to come into play.
Fumbleina. Fumbleia.
Mike Tomlin has lost 8 of his last 9 road Thursday night football games. The Browns are 6-0 straight up in their last 6 Thursday night football games.
It's a fumble.
All that being said, I'm still taking the Steelers -3.5.
Ooh-wee.
Let's go. All right. My second pick, I'm going with the Minnesota Vikings -3.5 at the Bears. Functional was the offense of the Chicago Bears last week. I'm still thinking better team. I will take in 3.5-point favorites. I will take the Minnesota Vikings in this football matchup. First meeting between the two this season. They will meet in a few short weeks here.
Indeed.
But... you look at the good teams that they have played, right? I mean, best team they played is the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Lost by 6.
Okay.
Go Minnesota. Their schedule's been favorable.
It has
very
been.
Favorable.
That's what happens, though, when you're not at the top of your division for a couple of years. I'm going to take that game as well, but I'm going on a different line. I'm going to take the over
39.5. Oh.
I think the Bears are finding some stuff on offense.
Yeah.
The Vikings, while not a prolific offense, I look at this game and go, yeah, I think this is a game where you're going to see both teams score over 20.
Yeah.
No, I'm not looking for a shootout, but if you told me that this game was 21-20,
yeah.
We just saw a Packers-Bears game was 20-19.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
39.5 is a low number.
Let's check that weather. Let's check that weather there.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. You're fine.
Yeah.
It'll be 53, cloudy, 10% chance of rain, and wind manageable, 8 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's not full on unabashed hellscape yet.
Yeah, no, we're not to that point yet. Yeah, yeah. But this is weather watching season when you're 100%. Looking at lines. Yeah, yeah.
Which it's going to impact my final line.
All right.
After last week's Lions shellacking of the Jacksonville Jaguars, granted, they're going to come back down to earth a little bit, but I still like them -7.5 at the Colts.
I almost took this line. I debated that line or my final line.
Mm-hmm.
It goes against my do not take anyone over a touchdown because it's so hard, even when you're talking about the Lions who have beat the crap out of some teams.
Yeah, that Jacksonville +14 really worked out for me last week.
It did. Like, that +14 is a monster line.
It did not work out for you, not even in the first quarter.
Yeah. No, it did not.
Yeah. Thanks, dog. Again, that's why those monster lines, it's just too much.
Too much.
If any team's going to do it, I think it's going to be the Lions.
All right, my third game, I am taking Broncos at the Raiders over 41.
Telling you, the division data over the years will back this that pick up, regardless of how bad both offenses are, how good both offensive are, whatever is going on.
Wait, can we have a line change? Because it is now up to 41.5.
You still going to take it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well... Actually, DraftKings is still at 41. ESPN Bet is at 41. I'll keep it at 41.
Yeah, no,
we're going DraftKings. It's a book we have here.
Yeah.
It's a book we have here.
Yeah. No, the 41's good.
If I tie again, I'm going to be so pissed.
Yeah. But you probably want that hook, though. You don't want the 41.5. If anything, you want to go.
Yeah, I want to go 40.5.
40.5, yeah. This is the Vegas sucker bet of the week.
Oh.
Eagles -2.5 at the Rams.
Okay.
Why are the Eagles favored by less than a field goal against the Rams team that it's not great.
This home,
I know, but this is the Eagles team. Are the Commanders a better team than the Rams?
No, I think they're about the same.
And that line was 6.
Yeah, I think they're about the same. But here's where I think the big difference is, and this is what Vegas is going to get you right here, right? You get the 3 for being at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Sean McVay and his staff get a big bump over Nick Sirianni and his staff.
That's
because
fair.
If there is an issue with the Eagles, it is the talent is not the issue.
No.
What it is will Nick Sirianni do something that makes this game closer than it should be?
That's fair.
History will tell us, probably.
And McVay will find that spot to poke at, but...
Yeah.
2.5? Look,
yeah.
If this was 3.5, I wouldn't go. But you're giving me the field goal?
On the papers.
A field goal win covers?
Yeah, on the papers, it seems like it should be Philly by more.
Yeah, so go ahead and give me the Eagles minus 2.5 of the Rams.
I, too, am taking that sucker bet with the Eagles minus 2.5.
It's too juicy.
Yeah,
it is juicy. It is juicy.
I don't...
And we're not talking sweatpants. My final pick, I am going the Seahawks minus 1 at home against the Arizona Cardinals.
It is a game that essentially makes or breaks the playoffs for the Seahawks. Their playoff chances go down to, I believe, 2% if they lose that game.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was from Dugar this morning on the Athletic. Athletic. Yeah. Because of the remaining schedule and kind of the resulting tiebreakers that will come out of it, if they lose this game, they're basically cooked.
I am going with a division that nobody can make sense of.
No.
This will, again, be right up the alley of nobody can make sense of this division. But they are at home. And look, we got a dome team from Arizona heading up to Seattle.
Where it's in the swamp.
It's going. I think it's supposed to be like chances of showers in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Seattle, but it's going to be gloomy. It's going to be cold. I like Seattle's chances in that weather, in that type of game against the Arizona Cardinals. Give me Seattle minus
one. And that wind will rip through the bay.
Yeah.
One, it was so stormy up there, it knocked out power at their practice facility.
Yeah, DK Metcalf said, you know,
the bomb cyclone.
Half the facility has power right now, you know, but Arizona's not making that excuse. It's like, well, yeah, because they have power.
Yeah, they're fine.
Why would they make that excuse?
Right.
doesn't seem like an excuse they could make.
Yeah. I got one here. Going for another big line. Cowboys, who are terrible, at the Washington Commanders. Your commies are 10.5-point favorites. I'm taking that minus 10.5.
Again, that big line. I don't care how bad that Cowboys team is. Jaden Daniels is still dinged up. I feel like that's the kind of game where they just want to get out of there with the win.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Cooper Rush.
I'm with you.
We need to get our last picks in because I got some breaking news.
Oh, okay. Well, my last pick is I'm circling back to that Steelers at Browns game. We talk about the weather watching and everything that comes along with that. Two offensively challenged teams. I'm going to go 2 negatives, make a positive. The line for this game is 36.5. Give me the over.
I like that pick.
Give me the over. 36.5. I think you're probably looking at a 40-point game, I think. But I this is where, and for those that are wondering, it's snowing currently in Cleveland.
We have got a little bit of breaking news
here.
One thing we talked about, a trade earlier this week.
Oh.
That has happened. ESPN traded football games to TNT for the rights of Inside the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Triana of Sports Illustrated, who does all the media landscape stuff.
Yes.
ESPN has no interest in adding Stephen A. Smith to Inside the NBA.
Ooh, thank God.
That's our first sign of good news with this acquisition.
What about Kendrick Perkins?
ESPN has no interest in adding Stephen A. Smith to Inside the NBA panel. They shouldn't add anybody to it.
No.
I loved Chuck the other night. He says, Kenny, we're going to have to start kissing ass again.
Yeah. Would like to pass on that. I'd like to pass on that. All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Those are our picks. Our Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks for the weekend that is upon us.
Yeah, today. I mean, it's upon us. It's here. It's Thursday. It's the first day of football. Let's go.
You don't want to talk about that game tonight, do you?
Not really.
Well, we do have some, I think, an interesting question. I saw something that popped up today on Pick Six previews about Blue Bloods in college football.
Ooh, all right. Let's go.
I want to talk about who are the Blue Bloods here on Danny Dusty, 1080 The Fan. Scrolling through the old social medias this morning. You know, arguing with people on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
As one does. Pick Six previews.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful account. Does
great,
great work.
Account.
Does great work every year getting the preview mag done. Had this note. Nebraska has officially posted the worst decade of any blue blood with an asterisk program in college football history. From 2015 to 2024, they have 68 losses. The next two worst are USC from 91 to 2000 and Alabama from 95 to 04, otherwise known as the Dark Ages for both those programs. The asterisk says the eighth consensus blue bloods: Alabama,
mm-hmm.
Michigan,
yep.
Nebraska,
okay.
Notre Dame,
yeah.
Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
Oklahoma, Texas, USC.
Okay.
Do you agree with that list?
Yeah, I actually do.
You do?
I do agree with that list. A blue blood program to me is one that historically has been at or near the top of the world of college football. And I think you have to have multiple national titles in an extended run. But the blue blood is the historic element of it, right? And that is 100% Nebraska. The mm-hmm. success that they've had, you know, whether it's the
70s,
run. 80s, 90s, I mean, and that was a monumental time in college football. And you go back to that, and then look, the success they had in the early 2000s, too, with guys like Ndamukong Suh, you know, when you think of Oregon gets hosed for a national title game. With Joey Harrington, right? And they end up having to go to the Fiesta Bowl. It was because Nebraska was still really damn good. And so it has spanned decades. And there isn't a program in college football that doesn't fall on hard times. Now, a blue blood program, you also have to stay. I think you can fall out of the blue blood, right? Mm-hmm. It is much harder to get into the blue blood because of the volatility with which the swings in college football happen. Like, Nebraska is on the cusp of just not being relevant anymore. Mm-hmm. And that is one where you go, that fan base is enormous. Their following is huge. The money,
diehards.
The money is plentiful,
mm-hmm.
but it's a really tough place to recruit to now. You know, the 500-mile radius that Tom Osborne famously built around Lincoln, Nebraska mm-hmm. as his recruiting base and then would dip into California every now and then.
It's been pilfered.
It built a powerhouse and everybody else is doing the same damn thing. And now you don't need the 500-mile radius anymore because the 500-mile radius was that's close enough to where parents can come to each game. Guys are close enough to where they can go home if they need to. And we have a hold of guys that are in that radius. Well, and that radius of 500 miles around Lincoln, Nebraska, it goes to a lot more major cities than you would think. Dips down into Texas, goes into like Chicago. I mean, you can get to a lot of places there. But now that every game is on television, travel is easier. Kids with NIL now can pay for their parents to come to every single game, no matter where you are. It's irrelevant. And now you have to find a way to become relevant again if you're a school like Nebraska. But to the point of, are those the blue blood programs? Yeah, they are. Those are the teams that have won national titles in several decades and different iterations and coaching staffs. Yeah, they are the blue bloods. And I think it's going to be extremely difficult for programs to find their way into blue blood status. Like, we're going to have to go back and, like, you know, it's going to be really hard. Clemson is a really good example, right? They have a couple national titles mm-hmm. this century. They have a national title in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
How long do they need to sustain success? And look, Dabo, for the demise of Dabo, it has been greatly exaggerated
yes.
because they are still a really top good. 25 team. And to do that several times over is tough, especially when you're doing something that nobody else is, which is not going to the portal, right? And making yourself a victim at every turn. Georgia. Georgia is wildly close to being that blue blood program.
I would say Georgia, Florida State, Miami. Those are the three programs that I look. Oh, you know, and Oregon too, obviously.
Oregon, but
I mean, I think those four are like on the same level.
Here's the thing. And look, this even pertains to Oregon. Like, Oregon their blue blood trajectory would start not in 94 when you go and you lose a Rose Bowl to Penn State, not in 95 when you lose a Cotton Bowl. It's like when you win the Fiesta 03? Bowl. No, 2000.
2000, okay.
Yeah, 2001 season, right, is where you start that run where, okay, they actually win a big game and then the program just ascends, right?
It's a good 23-year run.
Yeah, but like to be a blue blood, it's like 40, 50
years.
Yeah, right? Florida State and Miami.
You win national titles, though, which, again, when you're talking about Florida State and Miami, Georgia, it does kind of change the nexus.
And that's another big one Oregon does not have, you know? But Florida State and Miami are interesting, too, because as high as the highs have been...
Boy, have the lows been low.
The lows have been ridiculously low. Florida State's success is with one coach, Bobby Bowden.
Bobby.
And part of being a blue blood is doing it with multiple coaches and different iterations of it. I think another program that should be in that conversation, if there's one school that I think is missing, it's LSU.
Yeah, because they did it with Les. They did it with Saban.
They've done it like in the 50s, 60s. I mean, they have done it...
With offense. They've done it with defense. They've done it with different styles and different eras.
Ed Orgeron. Yeah. Like, you've found a way to stay relevant and be really damn good. I think LSU may be one of those programs. So, you know, but there's certainly some fringe teams. I think LSU is a blue blood. I think there are nine. I think LSU should be in that conversation because you also have some of the greatest teams to ever play college football.
Or LSU teams.
That goes into that.
They're probably two of the top 10 teams of all time.
You've done it for a really, really long time. Mm-hmm. And you had, you know, Heisman Trophy winners way back in the 50s. Mm-hmm. Like you've been relevant for a really long time. So I'd throw LSU in there too.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But it is a small list.
Yeah.
It's a small list because you have to have that relevance over a very long period of time.
Yep.
And it's defined by titles. Both conference and national, Heisman Trophy winners, the long, like not even just the titles. It's can you win a title and then not lose everything?
Yeah, right.
This is a shot at Michigan because Michigan's already there, but Michigan wins a title last year and now they're what? You know what I mean? Like Harbaugh leaves and it's a very barren cupboard. Your ability to bounce back. And not even just be like a year-to-year title contender, but to keep relevancy.
Look, and this is LSU, right? And this goes way back. When you can have the conversation of claimed and unclaimed national titles, 1908, 1936, 1960, or 1958, 1962, 2003, 2007, 2011, 2019. Like, that's a long run. Yeah. Are there gaps?
Yeah.
Yep. There's big gaps in there, but it is, you have the
multi-generational.
You have the history to go along with it.
If your kids, your grandkids, everybody else, like if everyone basically in the family has known an era to be great, that's kind of your way of telling it, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and you think of it, there's 134 teams in college football. We're talking about nine. Yeah. I'm not good at math. You can divide that. I don't know what that is.
I mean, it's less than 9%. It's actually like 6.4.
Ooh. All right. Well, let's check the math here. Oh, 6.7. You're so dumb.
Such a dummy.
Idiot. Yeah. 6.7% of teams.
I'm losing it in my old age. I tried to do it in my head in 0.2 seconds.
Yeah, and I opened a calculator. Yeah, so
my Rain Man ability to count the toothpicks is no longer 100% accurate.
Take that, math teachers. I had a computer in my pocket this whole damn time.
You're not you're not going to have it with you all the time.
Yeah, I sure am.
Yeah, I am.
Still got it.
Still going to have it. Quick little pivot here. Coming up next. What would make the guy that maybe has profited more off social media hop off social media? But first, he's the Big Kahuna with Sports and Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger? Music is a world within itself.
Well, we're going to talk about some of your Blue Bud stuff. Apparently, the Blue Bud discussion has reached the streets of Portland, as there's currently a SWAT team, apparently, on the outside of our building.
I had no idea about this.
Nor did I.
Yeah, Isaac just came in. And this is why In the News is such an important segment. And look, it may be an hour and a half of In the News today. Huh? Yeah, I would. Yeah. Let's have our reporter, Isaac Robb.
Our intrepid reporter.
He was doing the Jim Cantore, like, out in the wind. Mm. He's been man on the streets. Hello, Isaac.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Hi.
What is going on outside of our building? I saw police lights earlier.
Which is not uncommon.
Yeah, but I didn't think anything of it.
Well, the only thing I can tell you is that it's about a 4 to 5 block radius completely blocked off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, yeah. I had to go all the way. It's taken me a while to get in here.
Yeah.
But I had to do it for you, and the people.
For the people.
But I saw, so you can't get too close.
Yeah.
Which is another red flag.
Yeah, like something actually serious is
big.
Going on.
Yeah, it seems big, but although there's no like real fast action right now, it's just a bunch of blocking off and standing around, but there's a lot of machine guns.
Oh.
There are a lot of personnel.
Okay.
I don't know if it's SWAT or there are people in there's like a lot of police, but there's people in
the armor. Like their gear, their
geared
tactical
up.
Gear.
Yeah, almost like they're at war.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
And they're focusing on one building, which is over there. I don't know the cross streets, but they're focusing on one building and they're all standing around outside that building. So
okay.
That's
all
I can tell you.
I can't wait for the follow-up at 4.
Yeah.
Well, from 3 till 7.
I'm on it.
You're going to be on it.
I'm going to get in my news chopper.
Okay.
Well, I'm currently texting my news people at my other place of employment right now to see if they know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm
going
to go up to the roof.
They're the newsmans.
Get in the,
Have you ever been to the roof here?
There's only one newsman. No.
There is only one newsman, and it is Everett Robb.
No. What's up there? Is there a bar?
No, I've heard there's bees.
Yeah, like, there's bees.
Oh, people are like
honey
bees.
Like like honeybees. Like there's a. Wait, be careful when you go up there.
Be careful.
There's bees up there.
Why are the bees so far off the ground?
Yeah, because they can fly.
I didn't know bees like went that high. Do bees fly that high?
Aren't they in like the little cases? You know, have you ever seen the?
Yeah, there are.
Yeah, they're contained.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't like go down and pollinate and come back.
I think they do.
Okay, but as I'm saying, like, but that's
know.
A long way.
They do? No, I think they keep them in the little. Why are we talking about bees?
Well, because you're going
there
up to.
There could
the
have
roof.
Been someone murdered right over there.
Yeah. Well, you go find out.
I'm on it.
All right. In the news,
maybe
coming
it was
up
the bees.
At the top of the hour.
It was people are. I thought it was just the fans that were very mad about the Blue Bloods.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true.
My they team's not been. A Blue Blood, and now all of a sudden SWAT team's out here.
Yeah, that was quite the breaking news when Isaac came in here.
Yeah, he came in here guns a-blazing, as it were.
Yeah, have we ruled out that they're waiting for you to get off of work?
I mean, that would be nice of them. They don't want to interrupt the flow of everything, and
well,
they decided they didn't want to scare the good people here at 1080.
Yeah, Lee.
You know, and they know that I would come peacefully.
Well, this is now very serious here.
Because I don't have my piece on me.
Well, okay. It's very serious going on. Whatever it is, they don't do that for nothing.
No, they don't roll a SWAT team out for nothing. That's for sure.
No. So be careful. And
be careful?
No, we're off of the bees, Danny. Every time I say the word or the letter B, that's the nasty situation here. So Isaac's on it.
There is someone in the Vancouver Vortex line that says they
We don't know about that. Yeah. We don't know about this yet. So we'll... Isaac's like, we're going to run with the tech.
You want to run with it?
Isaac is looking for any and all intel on this one. We don't know. We could. I mean, we're going to have our intrepid reporter go out, and he's going to find out. He's not the best newsman in the business.
We don't have the bulletproof vest out there, so be careful.
Yeah, I know. That's definitely not in the 1080 the fan budget. Man,
if it was, it would be like a movie prop.
Yeah, it would be.
It'd be the one that Bruce Lee's kid used.
I'll tell you,
Jason Lee.
Wow.
Am I going to hell for that one?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Well, not just for that, but it'll be a reason. It'll be on the list.
Remember that one time?
No, it'll be on your scroll.
It's another notch on the bedpost.
Hey, remember that time you made a joke about Jason Lee dying? Yeah.
You're going to be in that line for the gates.
Brandon Lee.
Brandon Lee. Jason Lee's
from Mallrats.
Yeah, thank you.
You're going to be in line at the pearly gates, and you go, are you serious, man? Really? You're going to throw your hands up and be like, I was trying.
It's worth a shot. Worst you can do is say no.
Right. Like, I'll go to my eternity. It's worth waiting in line, though. Oh, man. All right. Well, I hope this comes to a peaceful resolution, whatever's going on there.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So, okay. All right. Blue Bloods?
Yeah. We had a couple texts on this.
We did.
Yeah, and I thought they were good. One said, if Oregon is a historical blue blood, which we did not say they are, then UW absolutely is. Historically, their numbers blow Oregon's way. Yeah, absolutely. And from the historical standpoint, that's why this list is so small. Florida is close. Oh, is he back?
I do have confirmation.
Oh. Yeah, that is actually correct.
Okay, the text line is correct.
It's a disturbance with a weapon.
Yes.
So there is a suspect that is barricaded with a firearm.
I have to give credit to my news contributor, Jason Sakanik, who stuck his nosy nose into the shenanigans.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So it's a homeless person. Mm. They have a gun, may or may not have shot someone.
Oh.
They thought he was barricaded in a tent, but they don't know, and so because they don't know, they have to do a perimeter. So that's what they're doing.
You start wide, and you close
in. And they have a gun. So
that's scary.
Could be a perp with a gun on the loose. Good thing we got
security
locks on the
cameras.
Doors.
Yeah, well, we do have locks on the door. You do need a key card to get in here.
Yeah,
yeah. You know,
I think we're safe, guys.
All right. Wait, thank you. Look at that. The
it's
newsman.
What we do.
He's the newsman, and there'll be a further report. I'm assuming at 4:30 today on in the news on Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Yeah,
look at that.
The Vancouver Ford text line saying,
"He's a man of action."
Souk finally snapped, and that was not the case.
No, it wasn't. And look, Souk is not the first person that's going to snap here. It's Swigard's in Myrtle Beach.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope everything in this situation does come to
peaceful resolution.
Calm, peaceful resolution, because that's no good. That's no good.
Yeah. And with that, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show and wrap some things up. Maybe get a few of your blue blood comments and not the criminal comments here. Come up next year on Danny Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
It's time for a Blazers report on The Fan. The inside story on the Portland Trail Blazers, brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria.
Portland Trail Blazers fall last night 109-99 on their first game of the road trip against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Remember, folks, good teams win, great teams cover. The Blazers again cover the 11.5-point spread. They've actually done a fairly good job of that this season. They did go into the game without DeAndre Ayton, Anthony Simons, or Matisse Thybulle. They move on to face the Houston Rockets in a back-to-back. Game one will be game two of the NBA Cup Series, of which the Portland Trail Blazers are currently leaders in the Western Conference, 1-0 with a 14-point differential. Anthony Simons will likely give it a go on Friday night against Houston. If not, I would imagine he would make his return in the second game of that back-to-back. This Trailblazers Report on the Fan is brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria, the best place to go before and after games or any event. Check them out on the corner of Southeast 15th and Broadway or at AztecWillies.com. As we get down here, we're having a little discussion about Blue Bloods in college football. And I think there's one that comes up that probably should get included in this. And this actually just come in. Florida has three national titles with two different coaches, three Heisman Trophy winners, and a national runner-up.
And they, in my opinion, in my belief, I hear they declare, they are right in there with, they should be in there with LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Florida was a team that, going back in time, was also good.
Yes. Well, Florida is really interesting because their peaks are really high.
Their valleys
are just
literally at the bottom.
They are in a chasm at the bottom.
Mariana's Trench.
And it really started, their run started with Steve Spurrier, right?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Spurrier coming from Duke down to Florida. That is where they took off and turned into a true juggernaut. Like, you have multiple national championships, multiple Heisman Trophy winners. You have been really damn good. The problem with Florida right now is that they just can't get out of their own way, which is usually what blue blood programs do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we talk about, why can't they get out of their own way? You know, well,
You try what worked for so long and you don't change.
Dan Mullen went 10-3, 11-2, 8-4, 6-7. They fired him.
You had one bad year. Time to go.
Well, he did say he did complain about recruiting at Florida.
Yeah.
But they're kind of in that Nebraska box where they're like, 9-10 wins. That's not good enough. Well, Nebraska would love to have 9 or 10 wins right now. Florida is going to be at a point where they're going to love to have 9 or 10 wins. And that doesn't eliminate you from being a blue blood, though. I put Florida in there for sure. I'm kind of pissed at myself that I put LSU in there and I forgot about Florida being in there. But I absolutely do believe that Florida is one of those. But they're like the new blood to this conversation. And that's the thing about it, is that we think about, 1990 being the pivot point for them turning into the behemoth that Blue Bloods are. Dude, that was 34 years ago. they've had a lot of success sustained over 34 years. Are they in a dip now?
Yeah.
But they'll be back. They will be back. And that's kind of the thing about the Blue Blood programs, that any dip will not be sustained.
There's literally a joke about Texas being back.
Yeah. Yeah. But then there's programs like this where Texas A&M treats themselves like they are a Blue Blood program. They've done nothing.
I feel like Penn State is in the same category. Penn State gets themselves worked into a tizzy about, we're a Blue Blood. It's like, no, you're not.
Yeah, I mean, Penn State is that they were dominant under one coach. Mm-hmm. And Penn State, damn, now I'm expanding this list a little bit more. But Joe Paterno was there for 50 years, though. It was like he was there for so long. And they are one of the winningest programs, and they continue to win. And they don't need uniforms. They don't need flash. No. They sell 100,000 tickets. Like, if they could get a quarterback, yeah, we'd talk about them as being a Blue Blood program. But because it's like, I think their dip has been to the point where it's like people are going, I don't know. Maybe it was just Joe Pa. Yeah. Well, James Franklin's done a really damn good job.
He is. Good coach. It's not a fall off like Nebraska, but I also don't put, I put them on the same level as like a Georgia.
Yeah. I like, man, Penn State did it for 70s, 80s.
No, you're not 90s,
wrong. 90s, 2000s, 2000s. They are the fourth ranked team in college football right now.
And they do have the two national titles.
And they have two national titles. They have multiple Heisman Trophy winners. They churned out number one overall draft picks. Like, I mean, yeah. Yep. Penn State's on there too. So we're up to 11. We're to 11. I'd put Penn State on there. I'm going to put Penn State on there. I'm going to rubber stamp them.
How many Heisman Trophy winners do they have? Just the one, right? Just one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Capoletti. 73.
Oh, well. John Carter should have won it.
They're right there.
Yep. All right. Well, that does it for us today. Mm. Guess when we'll be back? Tomorrow.
Oh.
It's going to be a Football Friday.
Now it'll be a Football Friday.
We're going to party on with the Football Friday. All right, coming up next, Isaac and Suk will take the airwaves. And for those watching on YouTube, you will... What a day for Jason Sukanik to wear his Portland Police Bureau hat.
It's almost like he knew.
Golly. All right, everybody. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you Friday from noon to 3. Up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Suk right here on The Fan.
Bye.